Today's reading is from the second book of the Paul's letters to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and you'll find it on page 1160 in the Bibles. Page 1160. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we command ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed to our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Pat, for reading, and thank you for having me this morning. My name's Ben. I go to Chessington Evangelical Church, and it's great to be with you. So let me pray as we dive into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Loving Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word, the Bible. Thank you that we can gather to hear it proclaimed and sing your praises this morning. Help us listen and help us give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that me vibrating? I'm good. Okay. It's easy to lose heart when faced with trials and weakness and suffering, because we've bought into the modern lie that says that we can get what we want when we want it, and that our happiness is king. So anything that gets in the way of that life is therefore wrong and harmful. And so we'll hide our weaknesses because we don't want people to know that we're struggling. That can be hiding mental weakness, physical weakness, financial weakness. We think people can't possibly know I'm struggling, or they'll think less of me. I think we do this partly out of the fear of being found out as fake, that we're not as good as we say we are or as we pretend we are. That if people really knew how much of a failure we are, or how weak we are, then they'd think we're of no use, or at least think less of us. But let's not forget that weakness is very much a part of life. And I want us to see this morning from this chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, that we should not lose heart in our weakness because of what we've been given. We are weak, but we have been given eternal life. If you're trusting in Jesus, don't lose heart. So firstly then, we've got 3 points this morning. Firstly, we've been given life. We've been given life. And this is from verse 1 to 6. Now to give some background, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians as a defense of his ministry. There have been attacks against him, saying, his message is too simple. He's not an impressive guy. So don't listen to him. He's not worth your time. And that's not to mention his beatings and times in prison. Despite that, Paul can still say in verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now, in light of all that Paul has been through, how can he say we do not lose heart? Oh, this ministry that Paul's been talking about is explained a bit in chapter 3. It's the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of righteousness and reconciliation, the ministry of life, life itself. And through this life, we become more and more like God. If you trust in Jesus, that life is in you. But that doesn't mean that life will be easy. Paul's opponents clearly don't want to hear what he has to say. They're distorting his name and his message and dragging it through the mud. We see that in verse 2. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul has taught the Corinthians in a simple way, but clearly his opponents don't want to hear it. They're claiming that he is guilty of secret and shameful things and peddling their own message at the same time. Now, the easy thing to do in a position like that would be to start changing the message of the gospel, to say something that would be more acceptable to those accusers. And that's still true today. Now, sure, we could say different things to try and change the message and please more people. We could ignore sin to get people to like us more. We could say that God will always give you what you want in order to get more people through the doors. We could say, it doesn't matter what you think about God, just be nice to people. But that would be distorting the word of God. Our job as Christians isn't to get everyone to like us, as much as we'd want that, but to lovingly speak the truth, because we have this gift of life and want others to have it too, no matter the cost or the discrimination that may come. So keep leaning on Jesus. Keep loving and praying for that person that you want to see saved. You have been given life, so keep going. Keep going also because we have an enemy. Look at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now the war against death is won, right? We know the outcome. God wins. But our enemy, the God of this age, Satan, will try and drag as many people down with him as possible while he has the chance. And his tactic is very clever. He blinds people's minds, the verse says. Now, the mind is where many battles are won and lost, and no one likes being wrong. People can't know I'm wrong. That might be a sign of weakness, and I've got to be strong. That is the attitude of a blind mind. It's a powerful weapon to blind the mind. But let's remember that Satan's power is limited because of who we preach. Take a look with me at verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Paul has such confidence in the power of his message to open blind minds because at the center of his message is Jesus. Paul's own mind was blind before Jesus dramatically saved him, and so the only thing he will ever preach is Jesus Christ as Lord, because only in Jesus is the power to give life and open those blind minds. Because in Jesus is life. And that life is in you. We have been given life. Now that can feel a bit abstract though. And a lot of the time, it perhaps doesn't really feel like we have this life in us. And it's not to say that life will always be comfortable. Because this ministry of life displays itself through our weakness. And this is the second thing this morning. We are weak. We are weak. And this is from verse 7 down to 12. This is a very precious truth. That God would choose to display his power and his glory through our ordinary lives. Have a look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Again, Paul wants to remind the Corinthians, he's not preaching about himself, but about Jesus. This surpassing power to bring life is not from Paul, it's not from us humans, but from God and God alone. Yet God puts that life, he puts that power of the gospel in us. We are the jars of clay. Now that's really humbling, to be called a clay pot. We want to act strong. Now we can base our strength on any number of things. Physical strength, status at work, being liked, raising a family, thinking you're right all the time, or just thinking you're better than other people. It's easy to imagine that we're strong. How can Paul call me a clay pot? I'm not weak. Well, it's not insulting to be called a clay pot when we take a realistic look at life. We're affected by what people say about us. Our days can be ruined just by not having a cup of coffee. We depend on sleep. We don't really control our internal organs. We've all been hurt by someone. And our bodies like to find new places to ache. And some of us have seen that weakness far too closely. With a dad or a spouse or a friend on the hospital bed. If you deny weakness, it's only going to be a matter of time before it comes and finds you. We are jars of clay. However, and here's the real turning point. Within our perishable bodies, we have been given priceless content. These jars of clay hold the treasure of life that's been given to us by Jesus. And this life works through our weakness. This is why Paul doesn't cover up his weaknesses. He's not ashamed to admit them. If you go up to Paul and ask, "Hey mate, how are you doing?" He's not going to say, "Yeah, right." Have a look at verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is a great thing about Paul's writing. He gives an honest assessment of life. And he's publicly saying, I am weak. But he does not lose heart, because he knows the power of the gospel within him. He is hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted and struck down, but he's not crushed. He's not despairing, he's not abandoned, and he's not destroyed, because God is with him and genuine life is at work. Paul is not powerful, but God is. And God has worked through Paul to bring life to the Corinthians. If you want God to be honoured, then we won't mind being weak if God's glory is displayed. It's so hard to think that way. My pastor was saying recently how we pray for sick people to get better, and that's good, and we should. And we're thankful to God for things like a new job or a new house. And yeah, great, fine, be thankful for those things. But we rarely thank God for growth during times of weakness and trials. Like, thank you, God, that I had to spend that time in hospital. Or thank you, God, that that period of time when my future was just so uncertain. Yes, it was a pain, but I grew so much closer to you in that time. And I wouldn't change that for the world. Those who've suffered the most are often those who reveal the life of Jesus the most. It's wrong to buy into the lie that weakness and suffering have no place in life. They're very much a part of it. And those who know weakness and suffering the most have an amazing ability to love and sympathize and share the love of Jesus with others. Like my mum. Now, obviously, I am very biased towards my own mum. But she survived breast cancer 20 years ago, then her dad died soon after, and has recently, in recent years, been diagnosed with mild Parkinson's. But does she know she's loved by Jesus? Absolutely. And others see that as well. This is what Paul's getting at in verse 11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul's sufferings are the cost of his ministry. But through his weakness and through his mortal body taking a battering, life has taken hold in the Corinthians. When we bear the cost of the Christian life and become aware of our jars of clay bodies being given over to death in the ministry of life, God can use that. God can use that. God can use your weakness, as verse 11 says, so that life may be revealed. If you want God to be honoured, then you won't mind being weak if it is God who gets the glory. It's so easy to think that God could never use you because of your weakness, that perhaps he should have chosen someone better or stronger or knew the words to say or at least had something to offer. But the beauty of the gospel is that we've got nothing to offer anyway. We are weak, but we've been given life. So no matter how depressed or anxious you may be, or how real the weaknesses are now, or how much flack you've had to take for being a Christian, you will never be abandoned, you will never be destroyed, because life is at work in you. But how's that possible? Well, look to eternity. Look to eternity. And this is from verse 13 to 18. What looking to eternity enables us to do is face up to current weaknesses right now and say, yes, this is awful. This is frustrating. But one day I will live forever in a place where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And that is what I will fix my eyes upon. And so we need to remind ourselves of the gospel. We can do this by speaking. Have a look with me at verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Death is the ultimate weakness, we know that. It affects us all. But it's been defeated. Paul was literally facing death for the gospel. But he still spoke the good news of it to himself because he knows that life is at work in the people around him. And he knows that he's going to be raised to life. And that same spirit of faith in Paul and in us is the same spirit that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. So keep going and look to eternity. So if you know and love Jesus, then know that the war against death is a war that's won. Weaknesses are frustrating. Death is awful. Let's not gloss over that. But it's a war that's been won. And this eternal life is for your benefit. Verse 15 says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul doesn't mind being weak so that God gets the glory. People are getting saved. We get eternal life and God gets praised. That is great news. And through all this, Paul can say in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Because he knows what's ahead. He knows people are getting saved. He knows the glory that's going on. And he knows he's going to be raised to life eternal with the Corinthians. And so he goes on to give a summary of all that he has said in verses 16, 17, and 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, you may have been struggling for decades, which hardly feels light, let alone momentary. What Paul's asking us to do is put these troubles on scales. Just picture for a moment how real and tough your troubles and weaknesses are. They are weighty. They are tangible. But Paul says here that eternal glory outweighs them all. You know the burden of weakness. You know the burden of struggles. Yet the promise here is that the weight of eternal life outweighs that all. The joy you will one day know in eternal life will be so all-consuming and thick that you will be drenched in it. You will be drenched in the weight of joy. It will tip the scale so far over in joy's favor that one day you'll be able to look back on life here and say, actually, yes, that was light and momentary. And while our weakness now is draining, verse 16 says we're wasting away, take heart that we are being renewed day by day. Think of a house being converted. The scaffolding goes up and there are poles here and sheets of tarpaulin there, and what once looked like a house is pretty ugly. But underneath all that scaffolding, there's a great work going on. And then one day the scaffolding comes off and reveals this beautiful, great new building. And so it is with us. Our weaknesses are like scaffolding going up around us. There's parts ripped out of us here and bits sticking out of us there. But you're being renewed. And one day when you see Jesus face to face, the scaffolding will come off. And you'll be amazing. You'll be amazing. And the praise of God will flow off your tongue forever and ever and ever. We are weak, but we've been given life. That life works through our weakness. So look to eternity. Do not lose heart. This world is temporary. Life with God is eternal. Glory awaits you. So do not lose heart. Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, this can be really hard to face up to when we are going through the midst of weakness. Please would you help us not to lose heart, but to look forward to that glorious day where the scaffolding will come off and we'll see you face to face. Please sustain us in our weakness. Help us to encourage those around us who are struggling, and help us not to lose heart. In Jesus' name, amen.